Black True Crime is a podcast that researches and discusses murders committed by Black offenders. It is a podcast that anyone and everyone is welcome to enjoy, but it may not be enjoyed by anyone and everyone, so listener discretion is advised. Now, without further ado, this is Black True Crime.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is Black True Crime. And if this is your first time here at the show, friend, welcome. Hello.
Come on in. Have a seat. We came to play.
We always come to play and to party, but be respectful at the same time.
Well, we try.
We do our best. Thank you guys so much for coming and listening to the show. Today's episode, wait a minute, it's Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month, y'all.
Move, bitch. Get out of my fucking way. It's Black History Month.
Okay.
As you can tell, we love it. I love it. And
I'm here for it.
Yeah, period.
Shout out to Black Future Month. I'm tired of talking about the past.
I know, that's right. I feel that. Okay, so hope you guys are having a great February already. This week's case is going to be a little different because it's doesn't really have any murder involved in it. I'm just going to tell you straight up.
Whoa.
But it is interesting enough to be featured because this is a crime show, not just a murder show.
Okay.
So, are you ready, sister?
I'm honestly here for it. And for those of y'all who's like, Kristen, where's our Black History Month? I got you. It's coming.
It's coming. Okay. It's coming.
It's coming.
I know we say a lot of things that we don't mean. Mostly me. But she means this.
I do.
So, thank you for your patience. Let's get started. In 1997, a Los Angeles cash vault was robbed for millions of dollars by a group of six men, and they got away with it.
Ooh!
Until one of them made a detrimental mistake. So join us this week as we discuss the largest cash robbery to occur in United States history, the Dunbar Heist.
Shut up!
Cool as fuck!
This is like Money Heist on Netflix.
Oh, really? I've never seen
it. I'm here for it.
It's exciting, I can't lie. I had a great time researching this.
And so. These are Black people who did this?
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was a part. This is
Shout
Ocean.
Out to them.
Ocean's 8, bitch.
How about, Kristen, this is Takers.
I wish.
This is the movie Takers.
Wow.
On Friday, September 12th, 1997, six men robbed the Dunbar Armored Facility on Mateo Street in downtown Los Angeles.
Mm.
We're in Los Angeles.
Okay, LA, home of the freaky freaks.
And the freaky freaks. Home of Diddy's nasty fucking ass. They stole $18.9 million.
Wow.
Which would equal about $35 million today.
Wow.
Kristen.
How did they do you understand the amount of planning, strategy, teamwork this takes?
Kristen, I'm having so much fun.
I'm already lit.
I'm so happy.
And why am I happy for them?
I don't know. Maybe because it's a lot of money and they're Black and they did this on their own.
And it's hard to do.
And the planning that went into it, we're going to get to it, but yeah, cool. Whatever.
Well, for those cops that listen to our show, we're not advocating for crime.
But everyone thinks the cool, you know, stealing from the man, money heist thing is, come on.
It's
everyone was obsessed
dope.
With D.B. Dubois. What is that nigga? The nigga that got on that, hijacked that plane. D.B., D.W., that man. He hijacked the plane.
Mm-hmm.
He demanded money. He said he had a bomb on him.
And he got away with
it. Yes. What was his name? He was never found again.
Don't know.
Either way, D.B. Mm-hmm. Dubois. I think I'm right.
I don't know whose money.
When D.B. Cooper. D.B. Cooper,
okay.
That's his name.
I don't know whose money they be taking when you do ransoms like that, because technically the government's money is our money, taxes and stuff. So I don't know if you're stealing from me, and if you are, I don't appreciate it.
Well, the government stole from you first, so, you know, you should be mad at them first.
I guess.
They just did their big one.
A tax refund.
They don't. That's a joke, too. But let's not get into that. Friday nights were the nights that the largest amounts of money were moved out of the vault, so that's when the six men decided to attack.
Okay.
They subdued all of the employees, including the two vault security guards, with duct tape, and in 30 minutes loaded almost $19 million into a U-Haul truck.
What?
Uh-huh.
So they popped up in a Dunbar and left in a U-Haul?
Well, great question. They popped up in the U-Haul.
Okay.
and to stole the Dunbar. From the Dunbar. And stole from the Dunbar.
Wow. Oh, because the money was getting transferred to the Dunbar.
This is like where the money is held. Okay. And this is where the Dunbar trucks get their money from.
Okay.
And they knew that on Fridays it was lit. There was a lot of money in that bitch.
Wow. So it sounds like somebody used to work for such Dunbar to know this type of information. Maybe they had a cousin or a homeboy who worked for Dunbar.
Picking out what you're putting down, sister. Mm-mm. No alarms were triggered because the employees were incapacitated before they could warn anyone. The bags with the highest denomination and non-sequential bills were taken, and the recording devices attached to the security cameras were taken as well.
Dang. So there's no trace of them.
Cover their booty cracks and their holes.
Wow.
I admit.
This is dope.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like they knew everything. They moved quickly, Kristen. They did all this in 30 minutes?
30 minutes. How you taking video footage from the cameras? You know which ones to take. You not only took the money, you not only cuffed these dudes up and taped these dudes. Yep. This you is know, strategic.
You know where the recordings are because that type of stuff is like very hush-hush. Yeah. Like they're not going to tell everyone that has ever worked there where that is. So this person really had to have the hookup. We're going to talk about
it. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And they were elusive as hell. So we're going to get into that. When the authorities started their investigation, they were frustrated by the fact that the thieves left almost no evidence and felt almost immediately that it had to be an inside job.
100%.
So they decided to look at a man that recently was fired from the company.
Who is this? Nelly?
Kristen. Bye. 32-year-old Alan Pace III.
Alan! Mm-hmm. You looking cocky. Real cocky, Alan.
Like, this is obviously a smile of like, yeah, bitch, and what?
We did it, and I'm fine.
Okay.
And what?
And what? But Alan was like, oh my gosh, the vault was robbed? What the fuck happened? I have no idea what you're talking about. Mm. And investigators couldn't find anything tying him to the robbery. The only real physical evidence that they were able to find was a plastic taillight lens matching a U-Haul truck.
Ooh.
So the FBI did their little, you know, 1-2-1-2 forensic analysis and realized that this light came from a U-Haul truck.
Okay.
Now, when I saw that, I was like, okay, maybe they can trace the broken taillight to the exact U-Haul truck that was rented and then right. they can see who rented that truck. But they nothing couldn't. Came up. From that part of the investigation, from what I could see. They even checked with U-Haul to see if a man named Alan Pace had recently rented a truck from them.
Period.
And there was no record of it.
Why would there be?
So, exactly. He's not He's dumb. A smart... he's not the one or the two.
Right. He pulled this off. He's not dumb.
No. Meanwhile, on the back end, the thieves are being smart with the money they just stole and hired a man named David Matsumoto, who was an LA immigration attorney at the time, to help them launder the almost $19 million worth of... essentially marked bills.
That's a lot of money that's to launder.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money. Because at this point, the FBI is looking for this money.
Right.
And this money still has like cash tags. Like, you know, in movies, how they have when someone steals a bunch of money from a bank or something like that, the cash is wrapped up in bundles and it has like a little band on it.
Mm-hmm.
Those still have it. Those are marked. So, you know, if you ever use those or give those to someone, they're going to be like, whoa, this is how money looks when it's still in the bank. So they're probably going to think it's a little fishy.
Okay.
So they had to get creative about how they were going to cover their tracks. They paid David and his office manager, a man named Joaquin Ben, $1 million each for the help with the laundering.
Period. That ain't nothing to them.
How about I say, you know money's whole.
Stunting ain't nothing to me.
Pimpin' ain't nothing to me.
Hmm.
Balling ain't nothing to me.
Popping bottles ain't nothing to me. Riding in foreign cars.
Uh-huh. Ain't nothing to me. All right. So David started buying properties and cars and investing in companies and fraudulently hired the thieves so that he could produce W-2 forms for them.
Ooh-wee! And now he's going to pay them with the money that they stole.
Exactly. And this kind of showed that, okay, we made the money legitimately. Mm-hmm. You know, David's business is doing well. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look too fishy if you don't know what you're looking for.
Right.
Even the robbers eventually created front companies to launder money through. They bought properties with the help of another man who made sure that none of it came back to like their legal names. One of the takers even used his own father's company to launder $177,000.
Wow.
That was a little sloppy. Too close to home. Right. That's me.
Your daddy's? Really?
Right. But the majority of the fraud happened through buying real estate.
Okay.
And for years, FBI and IRS investigators who teamed up with LAPD couldn't figure out where the money was, how the six men got the fuck off the radar. Like, they didn't know they really didn't have shit to go off of.
And you know what I love about these six men? They chose to use legal ways to launder illegal money. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. usually the case. But but like real estate, for example, like people can buy a house cash down $350,000. Yeah. That gets a big chunk of your money goes into something and it looks legit. And
it makes sense. Like people buy properties. That makes sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Until finally they realized how the robbers were able to get in and out of the bank in less than 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
Now, when they questioned Dunbar employees at the branch and asked them who they thought would do something like this, the name Alan Pace kept coming up.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And like we said earlier, Alan was a security employee that worked there for, he was working there for about a year and a half before he got fired. Mm-hmm. And by recently, like recently got fired, he got fired, bitch, the day the robbery happened.
Ah!
The day the robbery happened. He would have been my first call.
He got fired the day the robbery happened?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this was like intentional or not. Like, I wonder if he was putting on a show and he wanted to get fired the day the robbery happened.
Mm.
Or maybe this was like, ooh, like this was not a part of the plan and they had to scramble, mm-hmm. even though they still pulled it off. Like, I wonder what he was doing.
I'm going to let you know what he was doing.
Ooh-wee!
Ooh-wee.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Alan was described as being a normal guy. He was super nice. He grew up in a middle-class family in Compton. Mm-hmm. He had no criminal record and he was, you know, just your average coworker.
Shoot.
They said he loved pulling pranks on his coworkers and like a lot of them didn't really have an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
They, even though they were like the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, he was just like a fun guy. And he seemed to be pretty well liked overall.
Mm-hmm.
People were genuinely shocked that he could have had anything to do with this.
But he probably was playing them like a fiddle from the minute he walked through the door.
I was about to say, and according to investigators, this could have been a part of his plan
the whole time.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm. Ooh, I love, this is so juicy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I love a man who can be,
manipulative, a liar, deceitful.
No! Smart.
Okay.
I like a man who can be smart.
Who can play the system that's been playing us for 400 years.
You know?
Just kidding.
Takes some balls to do that. I ain't mad at him.
At all. And you're not mad at looking at him either.
No, he's cute.
But still, they had nothing.
Mm.
Until 2 years after the robbery, when a man named Eugene Lamar Hill Jr. made a huge mistake and paid one of his real estate broker friends with a stack of cash that was still bound together with the original branded currency straps.
Come on, like dude.
Fucking dumbass.
You went 2 years. You got comfortable. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Wage company probably was like, fill it himself. All you have to do is take that bitch off. And girl, that man would have known, been nothing. None the wiser. Yep. So the friend was like, whoa, this is sketchy. Money don't come out like this. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, and decided to contact the police about it. First of all,
ain't your friend.
That's not your friend. If you pay your friend some money, and they're like, I wonder where this money comes from, and they contact the popo, that's a problem.
That's not a friend. That's a colleague who was waiting on your downfall.
That's an op.
Right.
Okay.
Because he could have asked you, the heck you got this on here for? What is this?
Yeah.
You'd be, oop, my bad. Or, you know, something. You could have came up with something. He went straight to the popo.
Yeah. So I'm about to say, some people don't play that shit. And you got to know who to try who these illegal things with. Hey, exactly. I think it's unforgivable. You will never speak to me again. I'm like, damn, is the money drenched in blood? Like, there's no blood on it. Like, nothing. You're just a snitch.
What made you contact the police? Maybe because it was like in the news one day that somebody hit the Dunbar and
2 years earlier.
Yeah, like maybe he remembered it.
Maybe, but I'm not snitchy. I'm like, bitch, I know what's up.
You so gonna have what to pay you me.
I'm about to say, money talks, bitch, and money stops people from talking. So pay up. That's just me. Anyway, so detectives decided to look a little further into Eugene and his history, and they learned that he actually rented a U-Haul truck on the day of the robbery.
Damn.
What the fuck?
Got him.
Yeah. I feel like this is something they could have known 2 years earlier if they just were a little bit more detailed. Because all I'm going to do, I'm like, okay, let's look up who may have
rented a U-Haul
between these couple days.
Yeah.
When was it returned? Like, just stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
And then went down the list.
Yeah. Eugene ended up getting arrested, as you do. And soon after, snitched on everybody.
Golly.
And named all five of his co-conspirators.
This is why you can't bring everybody on board, y'all. Some people that is a part of your team shouldn't be. Because they're snitches.
Nasty fucking work. I think for him to even do something like that, when this man really helped y'all out. Like, I'm not.
He made sure y'all were straight. And you snitch on the whole team. Because you're a poom poom.
You're a bati boy.
You're a bati boy.
Well,
which one is it? Let me guess.
I think bati boy means a homosexual. I'm not really sure, but I don't want to offend. I don't have to.
It's just a derogatory term for somebody that you don't really fuck with.
Yeah. According to snitching ass Eugene. Oh, wait, Kristen, did you want to see the picture?
I want to know who Eugene is. Out of these four men that we see on the screen, for those of you who have Patreon, I'm assuming that Eugene is the one on the bottom right corner.
The bottom right. Kristen, looking so like, milk dud egghead.
Looking like egghead. Looking like
LaVon.
Lumpty Dumpty.
Lumpty Dumpty. What's that comedian's name? The one from St. Louis. Yes. St. Louis.
Lavelle.
That's who he fucking looks like.
Ain't he dead?
No.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Lavelle.
Hey, Lavelle.
So according to snitching ass Eugene, which I honestly can't even remember which one it is.
Come on, Kayla.
I can't remember.
It's that one.
I don't think so.
If it ain't him, it's the one on the left.
We'll look at it before the episode ends to make sure. According to snitching ass Eugene, the mastermind behind the whole thing was Alan Pace.
Wow. The perp. You big old snitch.
As we know, Alan had been fired the day before the robbery because he was caught tampering with company vehicles.
I thought you said the day of the robbery.
Sorry, you're right. The day of the robbery. Mm-hmm. Because he was tampering with company vehicles.
Ooh, setting up.
Which makes it seem like this heist had to have been planned for at least a couple weeks.
Right? Yeah.
Alan allegedly supplied Eugene and four more of their childhood friends.
Okay, so they grew up together.
And did. Eric Damon Boyd, who was the guy that laundered some money through his dad's company.
Okay.
So, idiot.
Right.
Number one. Freddie Lynn McCrary Jr., Thomas Lee Johnson, and Terry Wayne Brown Sr.
Mm.
So, now that you know the names, I'm thinking Eugene may be one of the Hispanics.
You think so?
Yeah. Come like, Terry Wayne Brown Jr. Sr. is one of them.
Right.
At the bottom.
Right.
Freddie Lynn McCrary Jr.
You don't know.
Don't know. Tommy Lee Johnson.
You don't know.
Still don't know. So Eugene, I don't know.
Who are you?
We'll figure it out. Y'all will know when I post it on Instagram, that's for sure.
Lucky ducks.
He supplied them with everything they needed for the job. He provided the floor plans of the vault space. He told them where all of the cameras were. He gave them ski masks, pistols, a shotgun, and radio headsets.
He wasn't playing.
He watched some movies that weren't even made yet.
Like, I'm here for this, though, Alan. Mm-hmm. Alan, what made you think that you could pull this off?
I need to have a conversation.
You know what I'm saying? What type of cojones did you have? Because in the real world, it's not as...
I got the cojones and I'm letting them hang.
Period. In the real world, it's not as easy to say, oh, I'm going to rob this place and we're just going to get away with it. This was some mastermind type of thinking. Big cojones it took.
And they didn't take $100,000 to, like, you know, be inconspicuous. They took... millions
of it.
Not even, I don't think it was all of it, but they took millions of dollars.
Wow.
Insane.
I had the nerve to still be in the United States 2 years later.
Oh yeah, didn't leave. He took pictures of the facility, the cars, documented employee schedules. I mean, he really did his big one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They said that this was one of the most thought out impressive heist that has ever happened.
I mean, Alan, this is impressive. Yeah,
because Dunbar is not an easy place to like do this shit too. It's not easy. He had to study shit. He had to be completely on his game.
And I'm sure there's things that they put into place company-wise that even shield their employees from seeing certain things.
Right. So we're going to talk a little bit more about certain things because I had some questions.
Yeah.
We're going to get to it. So here's what happened. They had been planning the heist for weeks, But a wrench was thrown in the plan when Alan got an unexpected call that day. So they were not planning on doing the heist the day that they did it.
Oh.
They were still going to wait. I don't know how long they were going to wait. But once his boss called him and said, hey, you're fired and you have until tomorrow to hand in the keys, he called his friends and he was like, yo,
we're doing it now.
Tonight is now or never.
Wow. They may not have even been ready.
The chills I would have had on my body. The chills.
And they pulled it off. And they may not have even been fully ready.
Krista, I don't know. I probably would have done it. I don't know. Like, if one of my friends hit me up and said, we can get millions of dollars, I work at this place. I don't know.
I wouldn't.
And the plan sound makes sense to me. And I know I just need to shut the fuck up. And if we don't have as many people involved, because there were six people involved, like, if there was three, I would do it.
Right. And I know that third girl.
I think I would do it. If the third girl was you, yeah, I would do it. And the first one was Christina.
We would do it. But Christina has a big mouth.
No, she'll hold it down. Shout out to Christina.
Shout out to Christina. But I don't believe that.
Okay. So all six of the takers went to a house party to establish an alibi.
Okay.
They then left, changed their clothes into like all black, ski masks, all that shit. Then went to the Dunbar facility where Alan was able to use his keys to get inside.
Okay.
I'm like, this is 1997. You have to remember. So they may not have electrical right. ways that they can just
fingerprint in to yeah. get in, mm-hmm. badge scanned. Mm-hmm.
Things are simple. It's a simpler time. Mm-hmm. Alan studied the security cameras and timed it out where he would know what to do and when to do it to avoid being seen. So one by one, they slip past security. Like while it's panning, they're going in the direction that it's not facing.
It's a movie.
I'm describing a movie.
This is so fun.
And they all slipped into the staff cafeteria area.
Okay.
Then they ambushed the guards one by one as they came in to take their lunch breaks at around 12:30 a.m. Mm. He knew that the vault was left open on Friday night. So after rushing the two vault guards, they tied everyone up with duct tape and started loading up the U-Haul.
Yeah. Just like that.
The way that I'm describing it, it seems like 1 + 2 = 3.
Right.
This is the easiest $19 million come up. In history.
But I know it took work.
Yeah.
An immense amount of timing and hard work. Kudos to Alan.
And the thing that's so crazy is they would not probably still have not gotten caught if it wasn't for
Eugene's sloppy big head ass.
Snitching ass Eugene.
Yeah.
Eugene, I don't fuck with you.
Right. Like you messed
up. Whoever
you
are in this picture, you suck.
Continually looking at the one with the glasses.
It's not him.
He's just pissing me off.
I think that's Boyd, actually.
That's Boyd.
Don't take my word for it. We'll find out. After they robbed the place, they went to one of their houses, changed back into their party clothes, and went back to the house party.
Wow.
So they were like dead ass, probably gone for like an hour at most from this party to go and make more money than they would probably ever see in their lifetime.
Which, think about it. People who are at the party, if you're really at a house party, you're not, you know, looking for dudes. Where are they at? You know, and then like they come back and you're like, where did you go? It's like, nah, you was probably hanging out.
I about to say that unless you're like fucking with a bitch, like purposefully.
Right.
And then that just makes you even more conspicuous. So they probably just were wallflowers there just to say that they were there.
Just hanging out.
And Alan was really smart about it because he involved people that he already knew and trusted. Remember, we said they were childhood friends. Mm-hmm. And none of them had criminal records at the time. So there wouldn't have even been an obvious flag that popped up if their names even came up in the investigation.
So you got people who are not criminals by nature to agree to do something that is like so criminal.
Yeah.
Like, Alan, who is this guy? Like, so I need to know who he is. I literally wrote,
who the fuck is Alan? Where did he come from?
Like, right. What's his background? Where did he get his confidence from?
Like, I was really thinking, I need to find out who he is. I need to get him on the phone. If I can find him and interview him, I totally will.
Oh, my God.
But we'll talk about it more.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Listen, it's Black History Month. Yeah, we're black, but we're going to be traveling.
We're not black, traveled, educated, you learned.
All of the above.
We will learn many tongues.
And to be able to do that, like Kristen said, we need to learn some more tongues. And the best way to do that is to use Babbel.
Babbel.
Have you ever heard of Babbel?
Girl, not until today.
Well, Babbel, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L, is a language learning system that is incredible. And I know there's so many out there, right? But Babbel focuses on actually teaching you language that you can use and can be useful when you're on vacation, when you're asking for directions, and things like that. It's focused on more conversational learning than just learning words. And honestly, that way takes forever.
Yeah, because how many times have we learned something, quote unquote, and then forget it all in 2 seconds?
Every day.
Right. This is a way where we can retain what we learn because it's practical and you actually want to use the words you're learning about.
Exactly. So if you guys are interested in broadening your language knowledge, becoming bilingual or trilingual or quadrilingual.
Ooh.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/blackchewcrime.
Did y'all hear that? She said 55% off.
So what are you paying? Like $2? I don't know. Either way, it's an incredible discount that you should take advantage of. Again, get 55% off at babbel.com/blackchewcrime, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Rules and restrictions may apply, but like, at least give it a try.
Period.
Okay, back to the episode. Bye. So none of them had criminal records. They all worked at different nightclubs around the city as bouncers. And they were close as fuck. Like, they told each other that if anything happened, if any of them got caught, they would just take the fall and not implicate anyone else.
Well, you lied.
We know Eugene's a sloppy motherfucker. Snitch McGee Majean.
Mm-hmm.
Snitch McGee
Majean.
Snitch McGee Eugene. Fuck him. After the robbery, I'm sure they were happy as hell. But they had a problem. They had to figure out what they were going to do with the money.
The money.
So they met up in Long Beach and distributed $100,000 to each person.
Okay.
And then Alan stored the rest of the money in a gardenia storage facility.
Okay.
In like trash bags.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to the investigation, the FBI was immediately involved and they were like, you know, Alan had to have had something to do with it.
You know what I'm saying?
Makes the most logical sense.
Which is so crazy because Alan didn't expect to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So Alan didn't expect to have the limelight on him.
Mm-hmm.
But even though the limelight was on him, he was still able to evade for 2 years. What the?
Kristen, this is the best. This is the best.
This is so dope.
I'm having so much fun. There's no sadness in my heart.
No. Like, that's what I'm like. I hope for all the people that be like, y'all do too much.
Y'all can actually enjoy this case if you're still actually here. Also, suck an ass crack. You do too much. Anyway, so because he had the perfect motive,
sucking ass crack.
Yeah, because I'm sick of beaches. That's why I'm sick of beaches. It's always a beach.
I know.
Hopping on our page, talking shit.
Shout out to our doggone friends.
Yeah,
y'all be holding it down.
I ain't even gotta say nothing. Y'all be handling the light work
And doing it like respectfully too.
Yeah, y'all even like lose y'all class.
No.
We love y'all. So yeah, they're looking at Alan, but Alan had this shit down to a science. He limited his contact with the 5 men that he committed the robbery with. And when they put Alan under surveillance, because yeah, it was on my boy's head.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't doing anything incriminating. He wasn't spending a lot of money, like nothing like that. He was just living his life regular and as normal as possible.
My God.
Kristen, won't he do it?
Ooh.
We in church.
He's just so, like, he's blowing my mind. He's making me, like, cheese. Like, my cheeks hurt.
Kristen?
I'm, like, proud of him.
How about, so you need to take a cold shower?
No, not like that.
Oh, okay, okay. Well,
he is fine, but not like that.
Perf. It wasn't until things started to cool off 6 months later that Alan put his laundering plan into motion.
Okay.
And I'm, like, I'm just so fucking impressed. Not one part of me is mad.
I'm not mad at him. What the heck? He's smart. He's patient.
Yeah. Taking advantage of his situation. Some of the money that they had were sequential bills, which would have made it easier for investigators to find them. So what they did was they burned some of it. They were like, you know, fuck this. It's a lot of money. And we have to be careful because if we get caught, what's the point of all of this anyway? But realizing how long it took the money to burn, they decided to gamble it away in Las Vegas at the casino.
Period.
My type of niggas.
Period.
And when they started doing that, they learned that because the dollar bills were in such pristine condition, they would sometimes jam in the slot machines.
Wow.
So they put the money in washing machines to wear it out a little bit, and then they went back. I mean, Alan thought of everything.
Who does he know?
He adapted to his situation.
What movie has he seen?
Google wasn't even a real popular bitch back then. So how is he even learning all this stuff?
Who is this man?
This is 1997.
Kayla, he's a mastermind. Like, I'm surprised this man wasn't no, like, gang leader, you know, or like head honcho, like, because he had it in him.
Alan created his own company called Extreme Entertainment, where he rented out jet skis and limos to people and used that business to launder a lot of his money.
Okay.
By paying his crew, like, inflated ass salaries. Mm. And like we already said, it was Eugene's sloppy ass that got them caught up by paying someone $100,000 in cash with the fucking cash band.
Like, at that point, none of y'all should have these cash bands on the money.
No.
Wherever you storing it, cash band should not be there. You should have burnt that with the money that you tried to burn in the beginning.
I was about to say, the only thing that I would have said is, on Alan's part, he should have had all of that shit taken off, burned, gotten rid of it. None of these little, I'm not going to say crackheads,
because cool that's kids. Rude.
But I'm talking about Eugene mostly. None of them should have even had any money that had cash straps on it that could have tied them back to.
You know what I'm saying?
What happened.
Don't give them ammo to get you tied up.
Right.
Period.
So remember, Eugene gives the guy the money. The guy goes to the police. The FBI look at the money, and the date on the money straps, bitch, show the money had been taken on the night of the robbery.
There you go.
So your ass is grass.
Your ass is grass.
Cooked goose.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. You had a weak link.
Absolutely. And I also was thinking, like, this whole time, never trust a Eugene, bitch. Never trust a Eugene. And I'm talking about including Eugene Toya's husband from Married to Medicine.
I know you.
Because he's a little sassy beach. And he likes to be in women's business, gossiping and stuff. So, yeah. No Eugenes.
No Eugenes, y'all.
No Eugenes for me.
I haven't met a real Eugene in my life.
Ever.
Sorry to you Eugenes out there.
Eugene sounds like you are an op. You are going to call the police. You're scary ass. That's what it sounds like. I'm not going to apologize for that part.
Well, Eugenes, show me a real Eugene. Just show me one.
Prove me wrong. So this information gave them enough evidence to go ahead and subpoena his bank and phone records. So they subpoenaed U-Haul records too and saw that it was him that rented the truck that day. It's not looking good. If anything, the cash straps was what I think really did him in, but to have record that he was the one that, you know,
this is more evidence.
Oh my gosh, icing on the cake. That's all I needed. The FBI offered Eugene soft ass a deal, and he took it. He rolled on his friends, and when Alan was brought into custody, Alan stood 10 toes down, beach.
Period.
Like a real one.
Period. As he said he would.
And he didn't say shit about who could have been involved. Wow. Never even admitted that he was involved.
Period. Why would he do that?
Exactly. I ain't gonna lie. If I was single.
Don't even say it.
If I was into niggas in prison. I would probably
make Alan my pen pal.
I would have, you know, sent some shit on his JPay.
You know what I'm saying?
Core LinkedIn JPay.
Okay.
All the Negroes implicated were arrested and were set to go to trial in February of 2001. Mm. But some chose to avoid trial altogether. So Freddie, Thomas, Terry, and Eugene snitch ass pleaded guilty and were given 8 to 10 year sentences.
That's not bad.
Could have been worse.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And you stole it from who? Dunbar? That ain't really Uncle Sam. So that's why they didn't get you for much.
I don't know. I'm about to say, Uncle Sam, they'll put your ass in the grave.
They will put your ass and leave you there and forget all about you.
Mm-hmm. Eric Damon Boyd was sentenced to 17 years in prison. This is Eric. So these are the four that I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
This is Eric.
Who's Eric?
Eric is the one that laundered the money through his daddy's account.
Oh.
Eric's the one that laundered the money through his dad's business.
Eric, you cute. Where you been?
Okay. He was sentenced to 17 years in prison.
Ooh.
Because I read that he had some previous charges. Ooh. And they were able to prove that he had a gun.
They were.
During the heist. Yeah.
Dang. So there you go. That's grand theft.
Well,
that's armed robbery.
I was about to say, it's armed robbery for sure. I read that two of the three men that helped in the money laundering part of it all were caught and sentenced to 2.5 years.
Huh.
Which is not bad.
Yeah, like David Matsumoto is like, I'll take the 2 years. They've blessed me very well.
I was about to say, I made $1 million.
Off rip.
2 years ain't that bad.
Yeah.
Ain't that bad.
Not even including the money they probably were giving to him as he was laundering the money.
Exactly.
Keep this percent.
Exactly. Because I'm like, and these PPP loan niggas from COVID, are being sentenced to more than that.
10 years.
Crazy. My nigga Allen, though, he took that shit before the judge.
Ooh wee, Allen.
He said, I ain't no screw. I'm about to see what it's giving.
Ooh, Allen, you're bold. Ooh, I like that.
I don't necessarily know why he did it.
Yeah, because, like, you could have just took the plea, got your 8 to 10 years, and been out. Mm-hmm. You were the mastermind. You should have took the plea deal.
Yeah. No, he didn't. And he's a real beach. I mean, a real nigga. But he ended up being found guilty, too.
Wee!
Doesn't look good. Yeah. Especially when, like, people are pointing the finger at you.
Especially when they're naming him the mastermind.
And the only way that these people really would have had the opportunity to even do what they did is because of your connection with that place. So, doesn't look good. And he was sentenced to 24 years in the slama.
Yeah, that's what it gives. Mm-hmm. Why did you take it to court, Allen? That's where your ego got the big of you. The head, the
best of you.
That's where your ego got the best of you. You know?
Yeah.
And now you in the slammer for 24 years when you could have got 8 to 10.
8 to 10. He could have just took the deal.
Golly.
But then again, I don't know what type of deal they offered him.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he was the mastermind.
Right. To this day, Allen Pace has never admitted to his involvement in the robbery. He even suggested that he had been framed by one of his other defendants, quote, because I was messing with his wife.
Oh,
Allen.
Aren't these your friends?
Right. But no, not anymore. No. Why would you commit a crime of the century with someone that you're just going to go behind their back and fuck their wife?
He's cocky as hell. He thinks he's untouchable. That's why he went to the courts to say, I'm going to fight this. You should have known you wasn't going to win.
He's fucking on someone's wife? Like, Allen, I was on your side, but you can't be fucking on people's wives, child. Especially your boys. These your boys?
This is some bad boy stuff. This is like...
this is some Mike Lowry shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a definition of, like, ego can get you very far. Okay? Mm-hmm. It can cause you to do the impossible. It can get your ass hemmed up well.
Absolutely. At the end of it all, the task force was only able to recover about $5 million of the $19 million that was stolen. And that was because they repossessed, like, some of the houses and cars and stuff that they could prove was bought with the money.
Right.
So according to their math, about $10 million has still been left unaccounted for.
Ooh-wee! So you already know Allen got a stash when he come out.
Oh, yeah. Allen got a bag.
He chilling. That's why he ain't ever admitting to it.
Period. The U.S. attorney, Alejandro Mayorkas, said, quote, I encouraged anyone with any information about these funds
why
to contact the FBI.
Why would they do that?
And won't. Will not.
What? We already gave y'all money. From taxes.
I'm not giving you shit back.
Why
Thank
would
you.
We ever tell you about some money that's already gone?
Yeah.
Don't you worry about it no more.
If anything, I'm just going to blackmail his ass, try to get my check. My little piece of cheddar.
You know?
A lot of the money was spent at the casinos and stuff. Like we said, some of it was burnt. They're probably still living off this money in some way. Mm-hmm. As of October 1st, 2020, Allen Pace is a free man.
Woo!
I think he's like, what, 50?
Okay, you know he living good. Where is he at?
Now?
I want to find his Instagram.
He was 32 when it happened in 1997. 1997 was 20...
Caleb, you were born in 95. I was born in 96. 28. I'm 27.
I'm turning 29.
I'm turning 28.
27 years ago. So that means he is...
grown. He is grown.
59.
Period.
Girl man.
Looking fine.
Mm-hmm. And as for his whereabouts, they're unfucking known.
Of course they're unknown. He has the rest of the money. He went to make sure he did his time and he's out and he's living his best life.
God, I'm obsessed.
With these funds. Would you do 22 years to know that you're going to come out being a multimillionaire?
No. I'm keeping real.
That's tough.
No, I'm not doing 24 years for 10 million. I can't do 24 years. That's not worth it.
So, I mean, to Allen, it was worth it. We don't even know if it was a full 10.
Right. I think the only part that he really fucked up on is one, letting the money, cash straps stay on the money and give it to who, you know, the people that he did it with.
Yeah.
And then two, going to trial.
Yes.
Because if he could have worked out some type of deal or something or said, hey, like, you know, we spent most of the money, but here's a little bit of it. Yeah. Like, they would have probably given him leniency.
Yes, but maybe in his head, one, he ain't going out
if
like
I don't,
that.
Yeah. Two, and if I don't say nothing,
they won't they come looking for me and my money that I have stashed somewhere. If I admit to it, I'll forever be watched.
Yeah,
my pockets, my bank accounts, everything.
Yep. And I'm just saying, when four of the people that you did it with take plea deals, doesn't look great.
No, but Alan said, I have a different path.
Mm-hmm. And he's living with it. Wow. So to this day, the Dunbar heist has gone down in history as being one of the most brilliant robberies in American history. Caleb Pinkett, who is a producer and brother of Jada Pinkett.
Oh.
The whore. I'm just kidding. I'm completely kidding. She's a hot mess, but I'm kidding about the whore part.
Thank you, because what the hell?
Right, I'm not going to slut shame. I can be the last one. Mm-hmm. Is working on adapting his story into a movie. They chose to cover the Dunbar heist because of, quote, our love for heist, and also, most importantly, seeing someone finally come out on top after always being at the bottom of the barrel. And that was and is Alan Pace III.
Wow, so they're turning him into like a martyr.
a hero.
With him, like, for what he did, but he ain't no hero. He still stole a lot of money from somebody.
You know what
I'm
saying? But am I mad? Absolutely not.
No, I ain't mad.
Not one part of me is mad.
I'm astonished.
Yeah.
I give him a round of applause.
I am proud. There have been docuseries created about the heist. Like, you know, there's been episodes. I think the Caleb Pinkett whatever has been released already. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it, but you guys can totally look it up. Just Google it. The UK even did a show on it, which I think is pretty great. Just shows you how infamous this shit is. Like, it's a big fucking deal.
I mean, it is. When you even hear about the story, you're just like, how did he do it? Who is he?
Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah. Yeah. I have questions.
I have so many questions.
So, Alan Pace, if you're out there at 59 years old, I hope you're enjoying the rest of your existence. Stay off the radar.
Period.
And yeah, that's our case for this week.
Whoa, buddy. That was a doozy.
Was different, right?
That was so fun. Yeah. I'm so happy you did a fun case.
Thank you, sister.
Didn't know there could be a fun case.
It's about time.
About time. What did y'all think? Did you enjoy?
I know. It was a little different. I know we're used to macabre and murder. But this is still crime.
Macabre, mayhem, and murder.
Yes. But, you know, it fits our show still. And I don't know. It was very lighthearted for me.
Girl, it was so fun.
We should have did this with mom, because mom would have been like, wow.
Yeah.
Where the money at? What? Let me find out.
She's just hit me up in my DMs.
Right.
Terrible. Vibes.
But thank you guys so much for listening to the show.
What an amazing first episode on Black History Month. Yeah. I'm here for it. It sets up the rest of the month. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Black people do great things. We do.
Even if it's crime.
Even if it's a little crazy.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not condoning what he did, but I'm not mad at it.
And I ain't mad.
Take that up with your mammy. Ho.
I ain't mad. Out of all the money we be giving to the government that we don't ever see back, I ain't mad.
I'm not mad at it.
And so, I don't even know whose money this was.
Me, I don't know who he stole from. The man? Or, you know,
Dunbar,
corporations? Whatever. Whatever.
They got it.
Doesn't matter. Either way, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Let us know what you guys think. Oh my gosh. Last week we did a case about Nova Henry. She was murdered.
Rest in peace to Nova.
Absolutely.
And her baby girl.
Absolutely. Rest in peace to them. Go ahead and listen to that episode if you haven't yet. We enjoyed it, but it was really heavy. It was really sad.
It was tough.
But yeah, this one, we had a great time. I think it was a good one to do after that heavy case.
Definitely a weekly palate cleanser. Mm-hmm. What do you all think about cases like this? Should we do more of them?
Yeah. We can get creative. Someone doesn't have to get killed every time you listen to this show, but more than likely they will be, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Again, we love you so much. Thank you. Happy Black History Month. If you enjoy the show at all, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Facebook. It really, really helps the show grow. And yeah, as always, before we go,
be safe,
protect your peace, and protect your space.
So we don't have to cover your case, friends.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the show. You can stream all of our episodes on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and even Facebook. It's the best way to help the show grow, and it's completely free. For bonus content, you can find us on Patreon. And for more information about the show, you can visit blacktruecrime.com. See you next time.